Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Tim and Joel. Call it in the ring. How's it going, Joel Pearl?
It's going wonderfully well. I'm a little tired this morning, but afternoon. I'm feeling pretty good. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm tired, Joel.
You're perpetually tired.
I know. Life is pain.
Kind of the plight of the Tim Stone P these days.
Yeah. Let me sleep. Let me sleep.
The problem with sleep is that once you get enough of it, you will want more of it. And then it's just a vicious, awful cycle where nobody wins.
It's a gateway
except for
action.
The sleep demons.
Yeah.
Goddamn sleep demons.
But either way, you got up early, you went to your remote location, and here we are. See? The remote location includes people running around.
Damn right. I got men at work. Need a sign.
Does it come with a... Did I come from a land down? Oh, sorry, that's different. Anyway, that is Men at Work.
That's Men at Work.
Yeah. That's Men at Work. Anyway, so here we go.
Y'all probably want to listen to us talk about wrestling, maybe?
I don't think so. Instead, they want to hit a thumbs up on this video. Let's get on that real quick. You can leave a comment on this video if you're watching after the fact. If you're in the chat, hey, how are you? What's going on? How you feeling? What's going on? How you feeling? And you can subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbooked. We're gaining subscribers every single day, and it's awesome. It feels really good to be doing that. We appreciate that. We also appreciate your super chats. You can send us a super chat. It's that little dollar sign on the bottom of the YouTube window. It allows you to donate any amount. Allows you to help us be a self-funded, self-sufficient, self-funded service as Fightful Overbooked. And supports all the local people who get involved with this whole thing. So thank you in advance if you do donate a super chat. Get your question, your statement read on the air. And of course, we have our Discord. The Discord's open. There's a link in the description of this video. Go ahead, find it, join it, and hang out with us. We talk about wrestling, we talk about food, we talk about all the other stuff that you want to talk about. Tim, we have so much to talk about. We have so much to discuss. First of all, do we want to talk about last night?
Yeah.
You're really milking this shit, eh?
Yeah, let's talk about last night. Let's talk about Impact. No, wait, sorry, Greektown Wrestling.
So last night, Tim and I went down to Greektown Wrestling in Toronto. It is our local independent. There are others. There is Superkick. There is Demand Lucha. But Tim and I seem to have found a little bit of a home over at Greektown Wrestling. And last night, they put on a very fun show. They had Bret Hitman Hart there. We'll talk about Hitman and what happened there with him. But the card itself was like chock full of Impact wrestlers, which for me was great because most of you know that I host the post-Impact show here on Fightful. So I reached out to Sean to reach out to Channing Decker, who is the owner and the new Greektown champion. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's It's always weird when the owner puts himself over, but here it worked, and we'll discuss it. But either way, Channing was a huge help and had us very graciously in as media for Fightful. We were able to get a few interviews and talk to a few Impact Wrestling stars and one AEW star. So keep your eyes open, your ears peeled, whatever it is. We'll hopefully have them available, whether it's on Select or if it's on Overbooked. They'll be made available eventually, but we had good little chats with a few Impact and AEW stars. So once again, thank you to Channing Decker. Let's talk about the show. So the show itself was at the Ted Reeve Arena in Toronto. And normally, Tim, we're used to a much smaller venue when it comes to Greektown.
Yeah, like a church basements type thing.
Yeah, we've gotten so spoiled by going to a church basement, paying $25 and sitting on the front row. This was a little different. Ted Reeve Arena, Ring of Honor ran there during like the height of popularity when they were doing War of the Worlds. I told the story to Tim, and I think I've said it before. I went to a War of the Worlds taping when it was New Japan Pro Wrestling versus Ring of Honor. That was the original Forbidden Door Kids. And I went to a show there that had just I didn't realize the wealth of talent I was going to see. I saw Okada. I saw Tanahashi. I saw the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. I saw Hiromu. I saw all of these New Japan talent and Ring of Honor. I saw Roderick Strong. I saw all of this talent that I didn't understand how or what they would become or be in the future. So that was the last time I was at Ted Reeve Arena. That was like 7 years ago. Last night they did a pretty good job filling it. They had all the seats on the floor taken care of. They had a whole bunch of seats around the bowl that were done. And then they had they kind of cut it off about a quarter out so they could do some merch and stuff and then do the Bret Hart signing. First of all, I got to say, a lot of people paid a lot of money to have Bret Hart sign their stuff. Good on them.
So many people. So many stuff.
so many people.
So much stuff people brought. My God.
They had so many people that they had to cut the line before the show started and then tell them, we're going to pick this line back up at the intermission. There were a lot of people. We were setting up amongst the line of people being like, holy shit. Like they were already running late because it's wrestling and wrestling. Like when they tell you 4 o'clock, it's really 5:30. So that meet and greet was supposed to start at 5. They actually miraculously got it off the ground at 5:30, but it was a mess. They got it done.
They did. I mean, it's hard to do. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Bret Hart ain't cheap. So they're going to sell everyone that they want, anyone who wants one gets their Bret Hart meet and greet pass. So they got it done, but my God, there were so many people with so many things, and they all wanted their little photo, as you know, is their right after paying what was probably too much money for me.
So let's talk about the show itself. We don't have to hit every single match, but the ones that we liked, first of all, I think the match that you and I unanimously absolutely loved was the main event. If you haven't seen the main event, MANE, go check them out. They are just these two big dudes. We've talked about them before on the show. Very charismatic, very
big
ready
star power.
For TV. Yeah, big star power.
Ready. Yeah, 100% ready. The gimmick could maybe use a little bit extra work, but like, my God, they're good in the ring. And they also worked on their gimmick. Like, we watched them evolve from like one show to the next. They've got one hell of an entrance down. Like, it's really strong. So I would love to see them on TV anywhere.
And these guys, they come from, I believe they're from the States. I want to say they're actually from the state of Maine, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Because it is not spelt like Maine. It is spelt like a lion's mane.
So. Yeah. So they took on the team of Sabotage, who are a Eastern Canada group, a couple of guys, really nice guys, really good guys, talented guys, younger. And
they're bad guys, Joel. Don't kayfabe. They're working hard out there to be bad guys. Sabotage Canadian Wrestling.
Go follow Tattooed Newfie on Instagram. And Halal Beefcake.
Oh, so, my new favorite wrestlers in all of Toronto.
The best way I can explain Halal Beefcake to people who haven't ever experienced Halal Beefcake is it's as if LMFAO were a tag team.
It is yoked LMFAO. They come out and they've got a jar of protein powder, but not actual protein powder because that shit expensive. And they just, they're a good time. Oh man, I want them on TV everywhere.
I had a wild three-way It sounds worse than it is. And Halal Beefcake got the win. I was expecting Main Event to dominate and win the match, but no, instead Halal Beefcake did it. They did a whole throwing the protein powder in the face gimmick. It was a lot of fun. It was a really, really good tag
match. So good. New favorite wrestlers in all of Toronto. Like, yep. Everyone push, purchase Halal Beefcake. So good.
Who else was on this card? Santino Marella interrupted a Jock Sampson
retirement
tease thing. And then Trent Gibson, who's a local guy, he got involved in it. They did Santino versus Trent going into the intermission. I don't have a lot to say about it, but it's nice to see Santino. He's dropped some weight. He looks good.
Looking real fit. And then he was doing, he was showing his veteran ring awareness, simply rolling out of the high flying moves just to the other side of the ring. I don't know why everyone doesn't do that. It's so easy. Even when you're beat down, you can do a little lazy roll.
If you're a wrestler and you're on the mat and the person, your opponent's going up to the top rope, all you got to do is roll out of the way.
Yeah. If you see feet when you look up, just roll. Just roll. Yeah. Doesn't matter which direction. Just any direction. Just roll.
Works every time. And then what else happened there? We had Big Joe Doering versus Bhupinder Gujar. Now, this was an Impact match for sure, because men are Impact. Joe Doering scares the shit out of me, and he's even more fun to have a conversation with, I'll put it like that. And they put on actually a much more balanced match than I expected. I thought Big Joe was just going to dismantle Bhupinder Gujar, and instead they had a good competitive match.
They gave us a show, right? Like, it was good.
Yeah, so really enjoyed that. And then the opening match was Josh Alexander versus Aiden Prince for the Impact Wrestling World Championship. Apparently, this is going to be a digital exclusive that they do release. Someone in the chat was asking if Impact's using Greektown as a developmental. Scott D'Amore was backstage at the show. And so were like, Josh was on the card, Joe Doering was on the card, Bhupinder Gujar was on the card. Eric Young, we'll talk about him in a minute. He was on the card. Giselle Shaw was backstage.
Yeah.
Who else was there? I mentioned Scott. It was just like a whole bunch of Impact talent, because a lot of them are Canadian. That's the other side of it. You know, they know these people. So it was a good time. So Josh and Aiden Prince had a really good match. It'll probably be released on the Impact channel, so that'll be good.
Yeah, it was for the Impact title, and it opened up the show. So
which I didn't expect. Josh had just come back from Vancouver, where he wrestled the night before. So he was like, let's get it on and let's get it done.
So
good on Josh. And then the main event. This was absolutely nuts. They did a hardcore match. So apparently the night before, Greektown ran a show in London, Ontario. Eric Young won the Greektown Wrestling Championship, which I didn't realize, because he wasn't scheduled to face the guy who was the champion. His name was Frankie the Beast. I don't know what happened to Frankie. They announced something in the arena, but I couldn't hear it. Either way, they announced that the hardcore match between Eric Young and Channing Decker would be for the Greektown Championship. Eric's probably not going to stick around Greektown Wrestling,
despite being a Canadian. Yeah,
despite being a Canadian who lives in Nashville. So good match. Oh my God, Channing Decker comes to the ring on a flipping Zamboni.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. So you and I were sitting near a penalty box. We were like on the same side as the entryway, so we couldn't see what was going on. I thought he was like wheeling out a ginormous cart of toys, because it was a hardcore match. And then I saw is that an airplane wing? And then I noticed, oh shit, he's on top of a Zamboni. The man rode a Zamboni into the match.
And he's got a vibrant blue chair in one hand, and he's smacking the top of the Zamboni with the other. And he's very excited for his match. It was very cute.
Absolutely wild. They had a really good match. They did a little bit of walk and brawl, but they kept it in the ring too. Really just a fun match. Channing Decker did win. He is the Greektown champion. It is expected, but also unexpected, because Decker has done such a good job of not putting the title on himself. I think they just got backed into a corner with this whole Frankie, whatever the problem is with Frankie the Beast, that he couldn't do his defense. So they just had to do a quick hot shot. I think Decker will probably drop that title pretty soon, because he's pretty good at not overextending himself. He'll be in the main event,
but he just wants to be there and bleed. That's all he wants to do.
And that's the thing, like you and I were talking about, Greektown Wrestling is basically like the reincarnation of ECW.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. And like Channing is a huge like hardcore wrestling fan, and he has all these matches with, like, the first time I saw Greektown live, it was Channing Decker and Trent Gibson versus Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck. So that was, and little Nunzio, like, he was on the card. It was just,
I mean, he fought RVD in the last, like, the last Greektown wrestling event. Yeah.
Yes. He just brings in all the former ECW guys. And I love it because I loved ECW when I was a kid. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, keep doing it. It's good. And they just have good, solid matches. Decker went to, he had, before the pandemic, he had a match with Matthew Justice, who's in GCW. Yes.
My God. He sure did. That one was great. That was a death match that was just bonkers.
Yeah, they went wild. So good overall, a really good night. Again, a big thank you to Greektown Wrestling. They are so much fun. If you want to watch some Greektown stuff, they have their shows streaming live on YouTube, and also they have a deal now on Fight TV. So for $5 you can watch their shows. They have done so much work on their streaming and on their production. From where you and I used to be, Tim, they used to like stream it on an iPhone. It used to just be one guy running around with an iPhone on Facebook. It's changed a lot.
It has. And they've made quite a few improvements. So like lighting has always been a struggle. Like in arena lighting has always been a struggle. This time, excellent. So it's like very well done. Beautiful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lit. Yeah, there's still some things to work on, but they're working on it. Entrance way is slowly getting a little bit more interesting. They got a lot of fog machines now. They just, I think in space audio needs a little bit of extra work, but it's good. Overall, it's good. I'll help for free if you want.
There you go. Let's let's get on their payroll or not. Or on their free roll.
Their free roll. Oh yeah, just free tickets. That's all I care about.
So we got a pay-per-view tonight. At least we think we do, because literally at every corner,
every single wrestler injured.
someone's unavailable. Last night, as I'm waiting for you to meet me at the show, we found out that Hiromu Takahashi has a fever and he's out of his match. We'll get to that in a second. So let's talk about Forbidden Door. This is
someone in the chat, let me scroll up, was like, the Forbidden Door is open, but we have discovered the Forbidden Door is cursed.
It is a monkey's paw.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can open the Forbidden Door, but
the Forbidden Door gives you all the matches you will ever want. That's good.
Takes them away.
But then someone will be injured a day before the match. That's bad.
That's bad.
The so you Forbidden get all the Door will bring you interim world championship matches. That's good. But you'll know who wins, because there's only so long that an international star can hold your world championship and not be on TV.
That's bad.
That's bad. Yeah. Kind of what's going on. Let's talk through this card. There's a lot. I mean, we'll start with the buy-in. First of all, they kept adding matches. They just keep, at this
they
point,
they said they were going to, they warned us they were going to keep adding matches at least.
They haven't done a pre-show with three matches, I don't think, ever. And if ever, they have, it's been a long ass time. Danhausen is just cursing the shit out of everyone. That's
he's
really
not on the card. He's upset. Someone should have given him a match.
See, JJ's got the idea. Soon you'll just be calling Impact guys to fill the spaces. Violent by Design versus the Young Bucks and ELP. There you go. Yeah,
sounds fine.
Anyway, let's. Let's start with this whole thing. Max Caster and the Gun Club take on the LA Dojo, and that's a team of Yuya Uemura, Alex Coughlin, Kevin Knight, and the DKC. First of all, what does the DKC stand for? Do we know yet? Is it
the Donkey Kong Challenge?
All right, works for me. So Donkey Kong Challenge, Kevin Knight, Alex Coughlin, and Uemura versus Max Caster and the Gun Club. I got nothing. I don't know who wins this match. Probably the Gun Club, right?
No, you know what? I don't know. It could go either way. I don't know the other people, so I couldn't tell you.
The LA Dojo, though, remember, any New Japan show, when someone faces a dojo kid, they are beating the shit out of the dojo kids.
What is a dojo kid?
They're trainers. They're trainees.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the New Japan?
The black trunks people. Black trunks, yeah. Black knee pads. Got it. All right.
Yeah, no gimmicks, just people wearing, yeah. And DKC was on Rampage this past week. He faced Hook and lost, as yes, expected.
That I remembered seeing. Hey, he gave him a little bit of a fight, though. And he looked, for once, Hook fought someone who, you know, like, I was like, oh, okay. Maybe he can't throw him around. Maybe he threw him around. It was good.
Dan in the chat is saying that it's Dylan something Cox. Is it actually Dylan with Dylan K. Cox?
See, that's really boring. Like, I was then, hoping then it was I can something
see,
weirder. Like,
then I can see why he's DKC.
But why anyway. Is he the DKC? Like, what an insufferable douche.
I don't know. Donkey Kong Challenge sounds a lot better. Sorry, DKC. I hope you don't see this.
No, I'm sure he's fine. Like, it's, he's fine. Yeah.
Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto take on Aaron Solo and QT Marshall from the factory. I gotta
have they been
assume,
on TV? What?
I gotta assume Goto and Yoshihashi get the win here, balance out yeah. the New Japan versus AEW stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, jobber QT Marshall.
Okay, so Donkey Kong Challenge's Twitter handle is Dylan something Cox.
Okay,
so his real name.
It's just his name. And okay. He's got the in there because he's a heel.
Oh, he's a heel. Anyway, yeah, Solo and Marshall losing makes perfect sense to me. Solo gets pinned by Hiroki Goto. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If Billy Gunn is in this match, the first match, Billy Gunn's got to pin someone, right?
No.
Oh, no, they're going to have Max Caster do the pin. He's going to pin, like, Kevin Knight, because I don't know who Kevin Knight is. Dylan Kyle Cox. I'm over the DKC thing.
Yeah. Are you?
No, never. Okay. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland are suddenly back together, and they're going to take on Kenemaru and El Desperado. I want Despy and Kenemaru to get the win here. It seems like they're putting Keith Lee and Swerve back together just to break them up again, right? Like they're just
playing. Yeah. There's some simmering like resentment there. It feels like not resentment. There's some tension is what I'll say. So
yeah, who leaves who high and dry?
Swerve I'm hoping Swerve. Up. Like yeah,
I feel like Keith will leave Swerve high and dry and just be like turnabout's fair play.
Yeah, Healy Keith. I don't know.
I wouldn't even slow burn this. They've already burnt it.
Yeah, they kind of yeah.
It is over.
It's a shame they were a good little tag team, and like what else are they going to do for now? Oh no, everyone's hurt. I forgot. So
yeah, don't worry.
Never mind. They need to break them up. Go for it. Do it.
Exactly. So that's the buy-in as of right now. They could add 50 more matches for all I know because you know this is what we do. You want to move on and we'll talk about the main show.
Yeah, let's talk about the main show.
So I didn't realize this until I was researching the card, but. The Jericho Suzuki Guevara versus Eddie Kingston, Shota Umino, and Wheeler Yuta match actually has stakes because the winner of the six-man tag, their team, gets the man advantage in Blood and Guts
yes,
on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah, that I saw, which is good. Like, I'm glad they added that.
That had totally gone over my head. I didn't realize because there was a billion things going on yeah. Rampage and on Dynamite. So I had missed that. I like that there's that advantage there. I like that there's that that stipulation involved.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at that point, it makes sense that Jericho, Suzuki, and Guevara win.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then they just pin Shota. Oh, God, Suzuki's going to murder Shota.
I think this is one of the matches I'm actually like looking forward to quite a bit.
So. Yeah. It's one of those matches that's like two thrown together teams of three that have this like weird feeling that something fun is going to happen. Like,
yeah,
there's going like to be some good chemistry.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to work. It's a lot of talent in the ring. So,
yeah, so I look forward to that one. The AEW Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks and ELP take on Darby Allin, Sting, and Shingo Takagi. Yesterday, Hiromu, we said, had a fever, couldn't fly over. Hikuleo is going to be in the corner of the Young Bucks and ELP. Clearly, ELP was always destined to take the pin in this match because he's still in it.
Yeah, I would have right.
Hikuleo in there, but I guess Darby has to pin ELP.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame what happened with this one. So, like,
could you imagine if ELP actually like gets the win and pins Sting?
Do it. Do it, you cowards.
He would be the most obnoxious POS in the world if he got a pin on Sting.
Yeah.
I want that. Headbang Club is now I Beat Sting Club. Zack Sabre Jr. takes on a TBA. Everyone's saying Cesaro.
Yeah, some people a lot saying of Cesaro.
Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling. I don't think it's Johnny Gargano.
It's not
I also
Johnny
don't
Gargano.
Think it's Cesaro.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem right. Like, because they're joining the Blackpool Combat Club and they're joining the Blood and Guts match. And they're like, oh, I'll be back. I don't understand. I don't see Cesaro joining like BCC. Like, I don't see how that really fits as much as everyone is saying it's the perfect fit. Like, I don't
because
see
he's a great technical wrestler, but so is Wheeler Yuta. I always talk about this.
Like, everyone's a great technical wrestler, but it's also pro wrestling, and like most of this isn't technical wrestling. So I don't know what they're on about. Like, Cesaro does weird European uppercuts and has a move where he spins a guy on his shoulders.
Like, the UFO, yes.
Yeah, like he's excellent. I love Cesaro. I want him in AEW. I want him on TV somewhere at least. But like, I don't see him in BCC. But you know, they might throw him in there.
I also like. I think Zack Sabre Jr. is getting the win here because it is a question of who is the best technical wrestler. Mm. And if the person coming in beats Zack Sabre Jr., well, then what's the point in running this match against Bryan Danielson? Sorry, I'll never get it right. What's the point in running Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the best technical wrestler when the best technical wrestler was just bested by the guy who came in? You can say, oh, it was a surprise, I wasn't ready, but like, I don't love using that excuse just to go back to the originally planned match. Like, ZSJ has to win, and if Claudio's coming in just to get pinned, what's the point?
And like, I don't think BCC needs another veteran. Like, I think they need a younger guy, right, to balance out the two. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me to throw in three veterans and they're all teaching one student. Like,
I think it's Filthy Tom Lawler. There's a New Japan connection. He just dropped the New Japan Strong title. And on top of everything, he and John Moxley had a match in Defy about a month or two ago. Mm. And at the end of the match, Mox was like, you are like certifiable or certified BCC. BCC. Like, you're a friend of the BCC, he says.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have if they call him up.
Yeah, and I have seen rumblings about Thatcher, and I think that would also be fine. Like, it still kind of is weird for me with the veteran stuff, but I think that makes more sense than Cesaro, Claudio.
Sure, bring in Tim Thatcher, have him get pinned. That's fine. I don't see the point in bringing in Cesaro just to pin him on the first night and then be in a blood and guts match, because he's not known, or at least to the casual fan, they don't really know Claudio as like Mr. Hardcore Blood and Guts.
That to me is not him.
So for me, Tom Lawler, who has had those types of matches, that's the guy you bring in for Blood and Guts. And because he can technical brawl, he's the guy you put up against Zack Sabre Jr. That makes sense to me. Biff Busick is another guy I see in the chat, people talking about that. Yep. That would make sense too.
Yep,
Lee totally. Moriarty, not so much. I think Lee is...
They're building something with him.
Yeah, they're building Lee versus Jonathan Gresham for the ROH title, which I love. I think Lee having that opportunity would be just bonkers for him. It's good stuff. But I don't see him being the guy to face Zack Sabre Jr. I really think it's going to be someone that we all know, but I don't think it's going to be Cesaro.
Wyndham. Could you imagine?
Stop it.
Bray Wyatt comes out and joins the Blackpool Combat Club. That would be such a strange dynamic.
Hey, man, I'm a shooter, man.
Man.
Come and shoot with me, man. My sister Abigail. She loved it when I used to do takedowns, man. Sounds awful.
Anyway, I can't remember the director. My brain is garbage right now.
Yeah.
I'm being asked about
Lady Frost leaving Impact Wrestling. She was also supposed to be on the card last night at Greektown. Felt a little strange that she was not on the card considering all of the talent there were Impact and Scott D'Amore was there. I'm not adding fuel to a fire. It's not what I'm trying to do.
No,
like, definitely no idea, but... one of those things where I was like, okay, she's not there. Where did
she
go
next? Bummer.
Next?
I was excited for that match. Like, it was one of the ones I was more interested in the card, but
she had a great match with Lady Frost versus Jody Threat at the last Greek.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to that. Jody puts on a hell of a show. So does Lady Frost. This one would have begun. Taylor Wilde was on. She was the one who was in the match. It was supposed to be Taylor Wilde and Lady Frost, but not to be, they did Taylor Wilde versus, I forget her name. I call her CeCe Sabathia now because I don't remember names. CeCe was her first name. CeCe something. Yeah. It was a good match. It was fine. It was just not what it, what would have been had Lady Frost been there. But as to where she can go, honestly, sky's the limit. It's up to her, and she'll continue working. She just will.
Yeah.
Let's continue on. Winner take all for the IWGP and Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. Jeff Cobb and the Great O'Conn, who are the IWGP Tag Champions, they're taking on the team of FTR and Roppongi Vice, who are there to take a pin. Or maybe they'll win everything. Maybe it'll be a big FU to FTR and Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn. And because Rocky is a head office and Trent works for AEW, they're going to take both tag titles and they're going to be like, we're the Forbidden Door. And that's just going to be it.
Yeah, no.
But then what do you do if you, so everyone's thinking it's FTR. I get it. If FTR win, then you do FTR and the Young Bucks at All Out. Do you make that winner take all as well? Or is it just for the AEW tag title?
Don't they end up with like 10 belts at that point? Like...
Yes, that's what we're after here. We're trying to recreate. We're trying to recreate the Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
With the 9 titles on his arms. That's what we're working towards.
Oh my God.
FTR was like, we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can make that work. I think so. I think we could be draped in gold.
But what if they do FTR and the Young Bucks at All Out and they do a winner take all and the Young Bucks win and just everybody fucking hates.
Oh, them. Just burn it down. No. Like, I don't know. Okay. FTR, yeah. Penguin's given FTR everything. Yeah, that makes sense because that seems to be universally felt at the moment. Every person we talk to, all these wrestlers are just like, FTR is the best right now. So like,
that's true. We asked someone a question and the answer was FTR about tag team wrestling last night. So you're right. Absolutely.
Like it really does feel like everybody loves FTR. So give them everything. Let's do it.
That'd be such a, I don't know. I feel bad for everybody and
everybody else
because like, oh God, so Ring of Honor is supposed to have a show in July. FTR could feasibly drop their Ring of Honor tag titles in July. But is it worth it? Where are they going to drop it to? There's only the only tag team I can think of that's established is Tully Blanchard's group.
Oh yeah, the newbies,
the two new guys. Yeah, Khan and it's not Tangaloa. No, it's
no, there's like three guys. Cage was there too.
Well, Cage is there, but he's not part of that tag team. It's
just there.
Yeah, exactly. Someone in the chat's gonna remind me what his name is. And I know it's funny because Reg from Grapsity did this last night too, or yesterday. He also couldn't remember the guy's name. But it's, yeah, anyway.
That other guy, yeah.
The other guy, Tully Blanchard Enterprises, Toa. It's not Toa, it's something else. It's Toa Lanoa. Khan and Toa Lanoa. They're the guys that I would have. They're the only tag team that I can think of who would come back in and go after the Ring of Honor tag titles against FTR. And maybe it'd be a good match, so who knows. But FTR holding the IWGP and the Ring of Honor tag championships makes sense. I think a lot of people are also missing the New Japan event that's happening over SummerSlam weekend as part of StarCast. They're doing a Music City show. And that is something that's worth mentioning in terms of like the outcome of these matches and how some of the international talent can be a part of it. FTR holding the IWGP tag titles means they can go and defend them in Nashville.
True.
Versus whomever.
And lose them in Nashville to whomever New Japan decides.
Well, that's true. They could also lose them in Nashville. Like there are international New Japan shows happening on US soil that aren't just New Japan strong shows.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, pretty good there.
Yeah. We'll see. They'll figure it out. They got plans, I'm sure. They'll move all these belts around.
We'll see about that. Because first we got to get the All Atlantic Championship on somebody.
Just throw in another belt.
Tim, I'm very upset.
One is the most disappointing.
My pick was there, and he's out with a knee injury. It's Pac versus Miro versus Malakai Black versus Clark Connors. Clark Connors replacing Tomohiro Ishii. I thought Tomohiro Ishii was going to win this championship, and I made reference to this, and I explained myself on Pillar to Post this past week. I said, Tomohiro Ishii is the guy that will go anywhere in the world to wrestle and does it consistently. He'll hop on a plane, go to Japan one day, and then go to America the next, and then fly to Canada the day after that. Like, he'll do anything.
He just loves to wrestle.
Holding. He loves to wrestle.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And you want to do this championship as an outside of AEW championship, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just having it on Miro or Malakai, like, put it on someone who's actually going to defend it outside of AEW. Yeah. Miro isn't taking in any dates that I can see.
No.
Independent dates. Malakai Black does a few, but he's very select about it.
Yeah. Pac, and I think he's focused on his AEW stuff too. So
yeah. Pac is the same way. Like, he doesn't really work internationally. Clark Connors would be an interesting pick now, because he's some guy who runs around. Yeah. Who do you think will win this match?
I would actually, it's not so much who I think. I don't know who's going to win. I can't really pick, honestly. I would love to see Pac take it, like, give him something to do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Give him something to do is right, actually.
Because that's, I don't know. Death Triangle, there's just a lot of chaos around them. Because they'll throw in, and they're all having banger matches, but they're usually singles matches.
Yep.
Or like, it's not Death Triangle. They're not six-man tag matches that they're having that are excellent. Like, it's the singles or it's the Lucha Bros as a tag team. So I don't know. I feel like get Pac away from Death Triangle for a bit and just do something else, especially with Penta Oscuro rather than like someone grounded in sanity.
It's a very weird thing going on with the whole CMLL won't let you work AAA and they won't let you work New Japan, and as a result, nobody like Phoenix and Penta and Andrade couldn't work the show, the Forbidden Door show. So what did they do? They put Phoenix and Penta in a match, or they put Phoenix in a match against Andrade this past week on Rampage, and then they debuted Rush, and then they brought in basically like introduce La Facción Ingobernables. You gotta do a third.
That's fair.
It's basically TK being like, let's do something because it's Forbidden Door weekend. And yeah, so I'm waiting for Dragon Lee to show up, because he is the third man in La Facción Ingobernables, in Ring of Honor's La Facción Ingobernables lore.
So probably not Pac. But like, I don't know. It's either going to be, is it Clark Connors? I'm not familiar.
Clark Connors.
So like, could be him, because I don't know, maybe. And then
Cowboy Clark Connors.
Another cowboy. No more fucking cowboys.
We need more cowboys in wrestling, pal.
They're all fucking cowboys.
Everyone's a cowboy because cowboys are the last of a lone breed.
There seems to be an awful lot of them. They can't all be last.
Whole lot of lone wolf cowboys out there in the wrestling world.
Oh boy, okay.
Anyway, so it's a big toss up with Ishii not in the match. Miro winning, I get it. Like, I get people want Miro to win. He's been out for a little bit. He's been outside of the championship conversations. Malakai Black is still doing everything with House of Black. Now they've got to refocus House of Black and figure out what they're going to do with them next. It's just a very strange, it's a very strange pack of people involved in this all.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. We're talking about Miro, and no, I think like he did what he needed to do with a mid-card title. He has transitioned into a pretty strong gimmick, in my opinion. I think the next title he's looking at is his main card, like the AEW championship. I think that makes more sense to me. So
Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Miro for the interim AEW World Championship. I'm showing my hand early. We'll get there. IWGP United States Championship match. Orange Cassidy takes on William Jefferson Ospreay. I mean, listen, I'm excited for this match. I've been told to be super excited for this match by everyone who's like, everyone's down on Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay, but they had a great, I get it. People will have their opinions. Let them have their opinions. They're not all bad faith actors. Some people don't like Orange Cassidy, and that's fine.
I like Orange Cassidy, though.
Yeah, and I do too. But like when people are just like, I'm not interested in this match, let them not be interested in the match. Don't tell people, you know, like, how dare you? This is going to be an amazing clash of styles.
You know, it'll be fun watching Orange Cassidy do Orange Cassidy against Birdman. It'll be fun.
Yeah, they'll have a good match, and that's fine. But people are very excited for this match, understandably so. It's going to be a different style of match. Does Will Ospreay drop the U.S. championship that he just won? Probably not. I'm still waiting for Juice to come back and get involved. I really wish. Could you? First of all, we have to. I don't know if we talked about this here. We were supposed to live in a world where the match was supposed to be for the IWGP United States Championship, Orange Cassidy versus Juice Robinson. We were supposed to have Orange versus Juice. We don't get that anymore.
Man, this whole pay-per-view feels like there's a little bit of that. A little bit of like, you can have this, but we won't give you this.
Ospreay will retain. Orange Cassidy loses nothing by losing. We've seen this time and time again. If he won the United States Championship, I think the first thing Orange Cassidy would do is be like, it's really heavy. Can someone else?
Yeah, it's like, just one of you guys be a good best friend.
Here, Trent, you didn't win yours. Can you hold mine?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, it would have been. I see people in the chat saying it's supposed to be Andrade versus Ospreay.
That would have been
but
good.
It was also supposed to be Orange Cassidy versus Juice Robinson, because Juice had to drop the title before Dominion because of his issues with his appendix.
Okay, so, hold on. One of the things, though, like this supposed to be stuff, like, and I'm not doubting that it was supposed to be, because I read that Andrade.
Why
do they not understand their contracts? Why do the people who start planning this not know what the terms of all these contracts contain already? Like, that is so silly to me. Like,
I think it's less about the legalities and more about the respecting of the cultures from which they grew up.
Oh my God. What a headache.
It can be. I mean, listen, you grew up in Lucha and your family is Lucha royalty. You don't want to bite that hand.
So, but like, how is it? I don't understand the politics of this, I guess, then.
I don't either. And I can only go by what we were told by Andrade, because it's just coming firsthand from the horse's mouth. But nobody knows really what the situation was. I'm just saying, could have been Orange versus Juice.
Yeah, that would have been fun. But this will all be fun. I want to see the Birdman fight.
Exactly.
The Orange Man.
AEW World Women's Championship match. Toni Storm, former Stardom champion. She's had multiple.
I think we talked about this last week. I was like, how is this Forbidden Door in any way? And then they're like, okay.
And New Japan was the one who made it Forbidden Door, because AEW was just kind of like, we need a women's match because we're being pressured to put a women's match on. And there's a Stardom event the same day, so we didn't have access to their talent. So instead they said, Toni Storm's a former Stardom champion, so let's
good enough. Do it up.
And then they're like, oh, and Thunder Rosa has also worked Tokyo Joshi Pro, so that's good enough. Let's do that. Whatever. I don't care. It's going to be a fun match. And at least they found a way to make it make sense in the lore, quote unquote, of Forbidden Door. So Storm and Rosa, do you, other than a good match, do you expect a change in champion?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Would be fun, but no. Thunder Rosa versus Taya Valkyrie at the next Triple Mania was looking good. That's going to be in October. So either that or Thunder Rosa drops the title between now and October, and then it's her and Taya for Reina de Reinas, which equally interesting.
Yeah.
So either way, Storm and Rosa will be a fun match. Storm versus Thunder, Thunder versus Storm. So haha, I'm doing the Orange versus Juice, Thunder versus Storm. It's fine. No one's doing that. No one's doing Tony Storm versus Jade Cargill and being like, there's a storm coming for Storm. Sorry, I'm done. I'm done. It's fine. Yeah, so expect a good match. Thunder Rosa most likely retains. We'll see what happens. IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. So this got added to the event on Wednesday. It's Adam Cole, baby, versus Hangman Adam Page versus Kazuchika Okada versus Jay White, who is the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Okada comes out on Wednesday during Dynamite. They did the whole the beatdown and then the clip and the money and the coin drops, and then Okada comes out, big showdown, and then they announce the match later on. Excited for the match. It's going to be a really good four-way. Not big on three matches on this card that are multi-person matches for titles.
I don't mind.
Not huge
that.
On that.
I like that. I like the multi-man matches. I feel like we don't get enough of them.
Not what I like.
It's going to be Okada just swatting little guys.
But Okada's Okada's bigger than the rest of them. Yeah. Hangman and Okada are probably.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I keep forgetting Hangman in this.
Yeah, Hangman and Okada are closer. It's going to be different. I heard Sean talk about how they don't do multi-man matches for the World Heavyweight Championship in New Japan. Like, it's not a common occurrence.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
occurrence in AEW either. Like, they've been singles matches. So, like, I don't mind getting a few. I like the multi-man title matches.
It felt a little overbooked.
Doesn't this entire pay-per-view feel that way?
Listen, we're on the right platform to talk about it. Let me tell you.
You might as well go hard. Like, if you're going to lean into it for this, I'm fine with this. Cause I'm fine with it being an absurdly long show. I'm fine with all of it. Like, cause they're trying to make up for a lot. Right. So like, I'm okay with all this. Like, they're doing what they can. I wish story didn't suffer for it, but it is what it is. Like, different people have different priorities in pro wrestling, and AEW is leaning toward, like, they've been putting on banger matches the last month or two. It's just the story isn't there, which is fine. I mean, it's not like it's really there in WWE either. I think Impact's the only one killing it with some narrative stuff. Like,
that's true. I mean, I'm a little biased, but yes. I'm looking at the four-way and I'm like, it's gonna be good. Again, this show is not a show where I'm gonna be like, oh, the stories.
Oh, there is no story.
No, and to be perfectly frank, I've talked about this elsewhere. Like, AEW is not exactly burning it up with great storytelling.
They really aren't. Like,
especially it's been a bit downhill for me in terms of the storytelling since a lot of people have been pointing out, like, since Cody left, but honestly, like, a little bit before that, it was just starting to go downhill.
Like, I mean, even like Mox, like, he's cutting these promos and stuff. Oh, I'll wait until we get to there. But like, anyway,
so who wins the match? Jay White retains the world championship.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Who does he pin?
Adam.
Which
Cole
one?
Be the most compelling.
Adam Cole. Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the story, this was okay. The story going into it, Jay White, Adam Cole being like, you know, Adam Cole being like, oh, I'm, you know, you're going to challenge me.
I'm the impetus for all of this. And it was like, no, you're not. This is stupid.
I am the catalyst.
The catalyst. Yeah. It's like, no. That announcement was like kind of lackluster. And this is like, no, it's not. It's not Bullet Club. You know, anyway, whatever.
White pinning Cole makes sense. They do the Bullet Club thing. Again, this whole show. So remember All In back in 2018. The setup was very much a Bullet Club show with Forbidden Door, like ROH and New Japan and some NWA. There was a whole bunch of talent from everywhere. Even Rey Mysterio, who at the time was going back to WWE. So there's a little WWE in there. The point was, it was a very much Bullet Club heavy show. And we're getting that again tonight. There's a lot of Bullet Club influence in this world title match. So I think Jay White pins Adam Cole. There's maybe a possibility that Kenny Omega shows up and talks. Don't expect him to get physical. Just be like, we are the elite, we are Bullet Club, we're better than this, blah, blah, blah. And then Kenny and Jay White beat the shit out of Adam Cole. And Cole has no one to defend him because Red Dragon are currently injured. They're sidelined.
Oh man, everyone's hurt.
Everybody's hurt. It's
yeah,
it's
one
hell of a time.
I hope Kallus just shows up and trolls everyone again. That's fine. That's preferable to me.
Speaking of Impact Wrestling,
let Kenny rest.
Friends, get your super chats in. We're poor. Get them in. Talk to us. Whatever. We're still talking to the chat too. Interim AEW World Heavyweight Championship match: Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jon Moxley. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I listened to Jon Moxley on Renee's podcast. They had a really good conversation. Of course, they would. They're married. And Mox had mentioned something about wanting this match for a long time, and TK telling him not yet, and Mox being like, that pissed me off. And now he kind of like backed his way into this match because of the CM Punk injury. First of all, if I'm Mox, I'm not very happy that I just kind of got this match by happenstance. But it's also the main event of the show. So
it is the main event of the show. I don't know if he really wanted this match. I thought he'd have more to say about it, but he kind of gave his standard Mox promo.
Like, didn't really have much else.
Yeah, he's just like, they call you the ace. Let's fight. Okay.
I don't think this was the match that Mox expected, and he was putting emphasis on the world championship aspect of it and not the facing Tanahashi aspect of it.
Yeah.
And that's on like that's on the storytelling that he has to give, like that he has to show.
Yeah, it didn't fire me up for it, I'll tell you what. And then the way that Dynamite ended, when they're just standing there staring at each other while everybody else just gang wars all over the place, like it was silly. It didn't really work for me, because like I don't understand why they're all so upset. Like it feels like most of these are just like there are belts on the line, so they're not like blood feuds, but I guess like they're upset at each other. I don't know.
No, that finish to Dynamite confused the hell out of me too. We talked about that offline and a little on Twitter. It felt like the tag match main event from Dynamite ended early, and then TK scrambled and was like, send people out, let's do a brawl, let's do it the old go home pay-per-view way.
But like, they don't like, I don't, again, like it doesn't feel like any of these matches are so blood feudy that everyone is that angry to end up brawling all over the place. Like, it just feels out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, it felt weird. And while they're doing that, they're trying to build for Blood and Guts, which is literally this coming Wednesday. So the timing was just kind of messy.
Yeah, like again, like it doesn't feel like they've done the work to make the emotional tension that high that everyone is that pissed off that they're going to show end two shows in a row with big gang war brawls, because no one seems that upset. None of this. It seems like they're just doing a fun little thing. Let's all crisscross our brands like for a night. Like it really doesn't seem blood feudy. Like,
and again, hilarious that they did it on both Dynamite and Rampage, and they taped both shows together. It wasn't like Rampage was live. It was the crowd was treated to two end of show brawls. And that felt very WCW to me, and I had to laugh, because what else can you do?
At least Eddie Kingston stabbed a guy with a pen.
As one should.
I think it was Jericho.
Let's talk. So Christian Cage is not on the card for Forbidden Door. We got through Forbidden Door. That's kind of what we expect. Mox Tana, who wins the match?
Mox.
What if Tanahashi wins?
I think that's more interesting. I would love to see that, because then I could get to know who Tanahashi is.
So
presumably, unless they just like he never comes back and he's just got the interim title and they just leave it until CM Punk.
Forbidden Door, they expect to do again.
Yes.
I personally feel like they're going to do the second Forbidden Door show as part of Wrestle Kingdom weekend. It'll be either if they do three nights of Wrestle Kingdom again, it'll be night three. If they do two nights of Wrestle Kingdom, it'll be night two. Or it'll just replace New Year's Dash like they did last year with night three of Wrestle Kingdom. It would make perfect sense. The timing is right in terms of the placement of the start of the year. How do you start hot? You have these big matches, and then you can switch some of the titles that...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage?
Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Maybe you put on some other people. So you can do Punk versus Tanahashi if he's ready at the beginning of the year. Why not?
But what do we do in the meantime? We're going to have an interim title?
No, you have Tanahashi showing up on Dynamite. Or you put a lot of emphasis on the tag division and a lot of emphasis on the TNT title. That TNT title is currently needing some good TLC because they spent a lot of time trying to do the Sammy Guevara and then the Scorpio Sky match. No Scorp on the card, by the way, was weird to me for Forbidden Door. I would have loved to see Scorpio Sky even do a Men of the Year tag, whatever it was.
It's too much, too many wrestlers, right? Like, you can't do it all. So, well, not that some of these matches needed to happen. Like, why is the Gun Club on here?
We're being asked in the chat, what if MJF confronts Mox at the end of the night? I don't think it happens. I think when Mox comes back, it's after the New Japan smoke clears because he's like, I don't care about these guys.
Yeah.
And the ultimate sign of disrespect is completely ignoring the fact that it happens. Oh, yeah. Scorp is injured.
That's my God. Really?
Yeah. He had a thing in that last title defense. He's not injured. He was getting checked out last, he said. Yeah. So I'm not going to go that far. Yeah, exactly. It's just, it is true. Everyone's injured. It is a snake bit.
This is brutal. Yeah. This time is really bad. Yeah.
And it's happening everywhere. It's happened in AEW, it's happened in WWE, it's happening in Impact. Like, it's happening everywhere. And it kind of sucks. But yeah, I forgot that Scorp had some discomfort and now he's maybe just taking some time off. So it makes sense not to put him on the card because the important thing is that he's TNT champion, which again, I go back to this. If Tana wins and he doesn't just fly back and forth, maybe he makes his residence in the States for a while. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tanahashi winning the AEW interim championship is a really cool kind of like FU setup for Forbidden Door 2.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that. I kind of hope that's how it's going.
Yeah, exactly. Who's injured in Impact? Who isn't injured in Impact? Who isn't?
Is it a spiritual injury?
Or... You don't know because Impact tapes so far in advance that you just don't know. God bless them for that.
Is that a cover for the fact that you don't know? And you?
There's the G1 coming. I don't know. Or I don't remember. Yeah, the G1 is coming up. There is a month, but it's only a month. Also, there are three Dynamites that coincide with G1 events. You could do stuff. Who knows? I think Tanahashi winning would be just a fun change of pace.
I think that'd be and it'd be an interesting way to end that show, right? Like, it would be a very good like finish.
It would be It would be interesting.
Yeah.
If you do something like, if Mox wins, Mox and Miro, if Miro doesn't win the All Atlantic Championship, you can build Miro, do Mox and Miro. That would be a good match, maybe for All Out. All Out's still a while away. It's still September.
Yeah.
So you've got some time to build it, or you just do a big summer event like Bash at the Beach that they can't use anymore, and do Mox and Miro there. So there you go. Anything to add?
No, I think that it'd be interesting. Like, but there's lots of opportunities if it's Mox, obviously. I think Tana would be interesting. I think it's the more interesting of the two.
I like the idea of Tana being the guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, chat. No one else is injured. Please stop saying that people are injured. There are a lot of injuries, but there are no current injuries that are just coming out. Unless, like, I just missed this. Anyway, let's move along. Let's talk about Christian Cage real quick. That was a great promo from him.
You people. No, it was very good.
He did
do a you people, but it was good. And honestly, like Luchasaurus coming out and choking him, that was the funniest bit when he was like, "You're like a side." Like, very funny. Christian still got the goods. Like,
did Luchasaurus eat Marco? Is that what we're inferring?
Remember what happened?
What happened to Marco? What, did you eat him in his sleep? Like, what are we doing? What is what's happened to Marco?
I think it's like Marco.
And then we're just
I think it's that Marco got shoved to the side in favor of the ascent of Jungle Boy. So yes, that's Christian Cage getting into Luchasaurus's head, right? He's like, you remember, you gonna fall to the wayside too.
So that's a really good comment. Because I didn't think about that from the storyline perspective, because it's like the heel being such a piece of shit, and it's so not true that Jungle Boy got pushed in favor of, or Marco got pushed.
Yeah, but they're using,
but using that makes perfect sense. So that's good. I really didn't think about that.
Because that way they can put Luchasaurus as the muscle for Christian Cage. Do they keep him as a dinosaur is a question in my mind.
I would love to get the mask off.
I would love if he took that mask off. Like, he looks good underneath that mask.
He's so good looking.
Oh, I mean, it's a good look. Like, the long hair, big guy. Like, I think, and it only goes so far. Like, Luchasaurus is a great indie thing where you can't tell a story and you show up and you do the spectacle. Like, you don't need to do much other than be a dinosaur and it's awesome on the indies. But like on TV, it doesn't work for me. And I think getting that mask off and making him Christian's Tomko makes a lot of sense to me. I think that would be excellent.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to put a black mask on Luchasaurus and call him Luchasaurus Oscuro.
Yeah, there's also that, I guess.
By the way, just added to the Ric Flair's last match event, for the Impact Knockouts Championship, Jordynne Grace versus Rachel Ellering versus Deonna Purrazzo. So there's a lot of
that
good
show rocks. Like, what is going on?
It's very frustrating that Ric Flair's last match will be a banger card overshadowed by Ric Flair's last match.
I am so concerned. And also, like, the production of it might be weird as hell. Triller is involved in this. And like, so it's just going to be this spastic, like, hyper pop looking strange affair, I think.
Okay, so we did talk about this last night, the Triller thing, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. So yes, Triller, actually, they put their name on the card.
They did now. Okay, because they had a secondary company.
Thuzio.
Before. Thuzio?
Thuzio is Thuzio. The third. So Fight, Thuzio, and Triller have their names on it. And they're doing the show at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. They moved it earlier this week.
Boring name for a venue.
Yeah, well, that's most U.S. venue names.
That's most venue. Well, most venues are massive, like, messed up brands. So whatever. All venues are named terribly.
Yeah. So it's so frustrating because everyone's like, Ric Flair's last match, God, this is going to be so stupid. And then they just keep adding these banger matches and we're stuck because now we have to watch the show.
They hired somebody who knows something along the way. I don't know who's doing it, but someone knows like how to put something together.
Conrad, credit where it's due. Conrad Thompson like knows how to do this shit. He knows how to promote. He knows how, look at his friggin' podcast empire. Look at ad free shows. Like, he does a good job.
Yeah.
He knows how to get things that people are interested in and not just people who are older invested. He just knows. He does. I'm sure he saw a lot of people shit all over the idea of Ric Flair's last match and just be like, Jim Crockett Promotions, it's a bunch of old fogies going to watch this show. We got to get some new people on the show, get some big level talent, and they're doing it.
Plus, there's the prospect that Ric Flair might burst into a cloud of dust. So, you want to watch just for the possibility.
Jesus Christ. The big quote going around this past week was what? Ric being like, I'm on blood thinners. We'll take them off.
I just won't take them for that day. And I was like, is that a good idea?
Not a good idea.
You ask a doctor.
And then my pacemaker, which we can just plug back in. It's like as if it's just a zipper and then just a quick, like, put it in a 110 volt socket. That show's going to be something else.
Oh, man.
Let's do Ultimate X between Speedball Mike Bailey and Ric Flair.
Do it.
Nobody wants to face Ric Flair because they don't want to be the person who's known for
murders Ric Flair.
That's going to be a joke at the roast. You know it. Like, you know that's a joke. Yeah. Anyway, so we're getting to the end of our time. Money in the Bank is next Saturday, so you and I won't actually have time to give a prediction. But let's just real quick, because we got it. Who's going to win Money in the Bank on the men's and women's side? Two men are still TBD for the men. The women, I think there's still one spot open, but let's face it, we know who's going to win.
That one's Lacey Evans. That one's easy, but the men, I don't know. I feel like the two missing, we got is maybe Kevin Owens, and then who was the other one that people were kind of floating around?
I mean, it's Madcap Moss.
Oh, it is Madcap Moss. Yeah, 100%.
Because you know what we need. Oh, man. This is what comes after that. Colin is shot. I fixed it this week for you. I gave you the PNG.
Yeah, thank you.
We upgraded, folks. We went from this, from Intercontinental Champion Madcap Moss, we've upgraded to WWE Universal Champion, World Heavyweight Universal Champion, whatever they're calling.
They're both Madcap. Oriented. You couldn't flip one on his left. Tried. Yeah, it wouldn't look right. Yeah,
it just didn't look right.
All right.
People saying Omos in the Bank. God, no.
Please, no,
God.
Please, Jesus, no. No,
please. God. Brock winning Money in the Bank because he's already got another. You know what? That's how they get the title shot versus Roman, because Brock does not deserve a title shot.
No, two Roman. Losses in a row. Nonsense. No,
does not need that shit. Who else could be in the match? Listen, Seth Rollins, probably the guy that I would have win.
Yeah, I think so.
At this point, because of the whole Cody thing. And then you've got to build Rollins as an undefeatable champion. Rhodes comes in, wins the Royal Rumble, and then they do Rollins versus Rhodes four, but for the championship, and Rhodes wins again, and then Seth Rollins is 0-4 versus Cody Rhodes. But you can build Rollins as the champion in the meantime, have Rollins come in at SummerSlam, they've teased the cash in, have him win the last man standing match by making it a triple threat last man standing match when both men take each other out so badly to the point the referee is doing a double count. So Seth Rollins comes out. Imagine that. Like, the heat behind that would be absolutely ridiculously stupid. The guy wins the title because both men beat the shit out of each other so hard that they both couldn't make the 10 count. So the guy in the triple threat.
How does it even work if you cash in Money in the Bank during a match with a stipulation, but the match isn't finished? Like, it's not after the match. It's during the match with the stipulation. Would it take on that stipulation's rules, or is it just a triple threat at that point? Like, how would realistically that work?
All you need to do is have, oh man, you could also do it after the match, but I don't like the idea of someone pinning Roman. Really, no. Brock needs to be factored into the loss here.
Yeah.
And so Brock needs to be like the catalyst for the loss.
It's super weird. Also, for the month that he has that Money in the Bank briefcase, Seth Rollins would be annoying as hell. Like,
that's the best part.
I'm so tired of annoying heels with the Money in the Bank contract. I'm over
all
it.
I know.
That's I
all
can't they know. With the nonsense of the last one, like with the Miz and Otis crap. Like, I can't anymore.
I think you can.
No.
So Seth Rollins wins the Money in the Bank.
That's I think probably. Like, they could
either do, him or
if they had any Ezekiel. Sense, if they had any sense, they would give it to Madcap Moss, honestly. Like, with no
I agree
joke about it. I think that would be the best way to do things. You need to build new stars because people keep breaking themselves. Like, he has the goods.
5 years ago, when they did the first ever women's Money in the Bank match, people were like all saying it's gonna be Becky, it's gonna be Charlotte, it's gonna, you know, but no, the point of Money in the Bank, like you just said, it's to build a new star.
Look, and then you got Money finally... Madcap Moss. You got Triple M.
There you go. Money in the Madcap. But people were saying, like, it's got to be Becky. It's got to be Charlotte. And then finally someone, you know, the voice of reason spoke up and was like, no, it's Carmella.
Yeah.
It's Carmella, who they've been slowly building as a competitive athlete. So for me, it just makes perfect sense to do Lacey Evans winning the women's Money in the Bank.
Yep.
And then do, because also before WrestleMania, before she got pregnant, I mean, they had huge WrestleMania plans for her, and that didn't happen because she had to go away for a year. But now there's an opportunity for them to revisit the Lacey Evans story and do stuff. And then for the men's, they got thrown into disarray because of Cody. So Seth winning and then winning the championship and then them going back to Seth and Cody, that makes sense. It sucks, but it's just the way that they book it would be the way. Madcap Moss holding that briefcase would make even more sense if you're trying to build a new star, but that's clearly not what they're looking at right now.
Like, you know, people will talk about, like, the heel have to have the briefcase time things. No, I think a guy this kind of green to stuff might be uncertain of himself, right? And so that way you can delay the cash in, and he can just be working on building his confidence and like beating guys in the ring over now and then, and just be like, no, I'm waiting for the right time, you know?
Like, I see chat saying Sami Zayn. I would be surprised if Sami Zayn makes it through most of the match, makes it through the entire match. He's there to be the guy that gets the ladders piled on top of him and lose the match.
Yeah.
And if KO's in the match, then KO's the guy who does a stupid
spot. Does most
spot.
Of the piling.
Yeah. Does the spot that ends with all the ladders. In the, yeah. Anyway, let's get out of here. It's a nice day outside. Let's go enjoy the sunshine, or at least the thunderstorms coming. Tim, where can the people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Tim Stonepy, TMB, STONEP, Twitter, Instagram.
You know where we are. It's Fightful Overbooked. Get on it. Tell your friends. Hang out with us. I'm Atrel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we will see you in the next one. Enjoy Forbidden Door.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.